Listen, what was it, something I said? I said they were done. They just up and left. All right, well. Oh, God be with them. Yeah, I won't say that again. We're just hitting the pause button. Church, let me just open this way. We need to remember that our roots are Pentecostal, and with that comes the awesomeness of the provision of the Holy Ghost. Let me say that again. We need to remember that our roots are Pentecostal, and that with that comes the awesomeness of the provision. Listen, the provision of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm here to tell you tonight, that this morning, that there's nothing that the Holy Spirit can't provide what you need. Amen. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. If I told you right now the number that the engineer and the architects and them threw out to Bob and I the other day when we were out here, it would freak you out, because it freaked me out. But you know what? I've seen God do crazy stuff. I've seen God make provision. Well, you remember the story of the loaves and the fishes? I know that can happen because I've seen it happen. I want you to turn with me. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. I want you to remember that our roots are Pentecostal. I want you to remember that there's power that he said in Acts chapter 1 that we are going to be what? Endued with power. Amen? From on high. There's going to be an impartation of the Holy Ghost of God that comes into you and I, invades our space, and energizes us and gives us the power like we've never seen before. Listen, I believe that God can open your eyes and see into another dimension that's beyond what you and I can see today, and He wants to do it for a purpose. Listen, if you can't see that property out there transforming into another building, then I'm going to ask you to get on your face and begin to pray and cry out to God and say, God, show me. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a message of encouragement today, church. This is a message that woo. Start down there in chapter 6 and verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. Father, as we look into your word, I need your anointing, God. I'm feeling a little jacked up on the inside, but that could just be me, Lord, and I want you to energize me and anoint me, God, to share your word. Lord, I pray that little coal, that little ember that's burning down inside, I pray, God, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that this Pentecostal preacher, you'd begin to blow on that ember, that ember would turn into a fire, a raging inferno, God, that you would purify my lips, that you'd touch me with a coal from the altar and cleanse my lips. Lord, allow me to speak your word in truth. Lord, allow your people to receive not from a preacher, but from your Holy Ghost today and from your word today, God, that we would leave out of this place later on, God, changed and transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize us afresh and anew in this house this morning, God, that we would walk out of this place in Holy Ghost power. Lord, that the people that we pass on the street, the people that see us walk and drive out of this place, would say, something's going on in that old brick building. Something's going on. God, let it be so today. Lord, I pray for every preacher in this city today that's sharing your word, God, that your Holy Ghost fire, I don't care if they're Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian, I pray your Holy Ghost show up in that place today. Glory to Jesus. Lord, let your Holy Ghost show up in church today. Let it change and transform your people in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him, and thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? He thinks that there's treason in the house. He thinks that there's somebody that is not playing fair. And one of his servants said, verse 12, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And so he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. And therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Oh, Lord, hang on. This way. Woo, son. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? I don't know about the rest of you, but when I see that, there's just something giggles inside of me. Because this little dude is freaked out. He walks outside, he sees the whole army, and all he can think to say is, alas, master, what shall we do? I mean, this guy is struck by fear. What shall we do? And so he answered. Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And so it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat. And are you kidding me? What in the world is going on here? Shall I kill them? No, feed them. Feed them. Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. What in the world is going on? Killing them with kindness. Praying for his enemies, blessing those who persecute, and all those kinds of things. This is a passage that I come back to from time to time because of the witness of the power of prayer and the faithfulness of God. Listen, church, if we can't believe together that there is power in prayer, and if we can't believe together in the faithfulness of Almighty God, we've got nothing. We have got nothing. Here they are in Dothan, and Elisha and his servant find themselves surrounded by the Syrian army. This guy's freaking out. Alas, master, what shall we do? I mean, he just went outside to take care of the horses or whatever and get ready for their trip. And he walks outside and the whole place is surrounded. I mean, it's like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. They ain't getting out of there alive. I probably just dated myself, but hey, I'm old. I can't help it. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid weren't going to get out of that place alive. And that's the same thought that this kid has when he goes outside and he sees that there is no way. They have got them dead to rights. They can't handle it. And Elijah says, hold on just a second. Lord, I pray you open his eyes. Bam! He opens his eyes. He says, go have another look. Go see. He walks outside and his eyes automatically see all around on the mountaintops horses and chariots of fire. He'd be walking, boy, I'll tell you one thing. You boys are in trouble now. You know he thought that. I'd have thought that, so I know he'd have thought that. Boy, I'll tell you, we're going to see, there's going to be a showdown today. You boys just thought you had this under control. You are way outnumbered. Them guys up there are way bigger than you guys are, and you're in big trouble. Here I am throwing stuff everywhere. So see, the king of Syria was disturbed. He was disturbed because every plan that he made, every place that he went, was discovered by the king of Israel. He came to the conclusion that there's got to be a spy in his camp. So he calls together his military strategists and his leaders and all those kinds of generals and whatnot. And he attempts to flush out the traitor. Which one of you is for the king of Israel? Got to be one of you. There's no way that he can know everything we're doing unless one of you is a mole. And they're like, it ain't us. They're none of us. We're not doing it. They were all loyal to him. It was the Lord showing Elijah the prophet where they were going to be. And for us as the children of God, in order to believe the impossible, we must first be able to see the invisible. And with the lesson that Elijah taught his servant, listen, I'm praying that God will begin to open our eyes to a dimension that's beyond where we are. That we'll be able to see, listen, it's an act of faith. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. So what is faith? Faith is acting on something that you and I can't see. We don't have the reality of it. But there's something that happens when you and I step out in faith and say, you know what? I might fall down, but I'm stepping out. I might look foolish. I mean, look at Peter. He got out of the boat. You know what? He sunk. Yeah, I'll give him that. He did sink. But you know what? He's the only one that got out of the boat. He's the only one at the end of the day can say, hey, I walked on water. It might not have been very far, but that's further than you walked. In order to believe the impossible, we must first see the invisible. This whole text involves a war between Israel and Syria. And the prophet Elisha is informing his people of the enemy's tactics and through prophetic insights. Listen, I still believe in the prophetic. We are, in fact, a full gospel, Pentecostal, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church. And I believe in the prophetic insight. I believe that the Lord can speak to us and speak through us. Verse 12 says, and one of his servants said, none, my Lord, but Elijah the prophet who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Are you kidding me? The prophet had bugged even the bedroom of the king of Syria and knows everything that he said. And the way he bugged them is in that day was that the Lord, through his spirit, began to just reveal these things to him. So the king of Syria decided, well, then the only thing for me to do here is eliminate Elisha. I mean, I'm never going to do anything if this guy is still around. So he first sent out those to spy out where he was, and they locate him in Dothan. And Dothan is a place just north of Jerusalem, about 60 miles. And the word Dothan means two wells. It's a place where there was good pasture and a place where the flocks were brought to eat. And here, what we need to learn from this passage is that prayer is the key to discerning the enemy's strategy. Fred and I were talking before the service, and both of us have had something of a rough week. Listen, the more you're used by God, the more you yield yourself to be used by the Lord, I got news for you, the enemy is going to come for you. He's going to come for you. And I'm telling you, it's by no mistake that we're having this message this morning, because prayer is the key to discerning the enemy's strategy. If you and I will spend time in prayer, if you and I will seek the Lord with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our spirit and our body, all that kind of stuff, when the enemy comes against us, there will be something of the presence of God working on the inside that will begin to rise up inside of each one of them and say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. It's a trap. Trap. He's trying to knock you off. He's trying to derail you. Prayer is the key to discerning the enemy's strategy, and furthermore, it's the key to dispelling Elisha's servants was the vision being open to see into the invisible. Don't miss these crucial words. Elisha prayed. He didn't just simply ask God to show the servant another miracle. He asked that his servant would see into another dimension. Boy, I'll tell you what would you do? What would happen? Well, how would your life be changed if the Lord just in an instant, Dennis, opened your eyes into another dimension. Bam! You begin to see the angels that are camped around this place, the warring angels that are outside, that are protecting this place this very morning. It's not a fairy tale. It's the truth. It would mess us up. I believe with all my heart that I have guardian angels that go with me all the time. I mean, I believe that they're holding up my truck, my trailer. I mean, because I've seen things happen out there that you're like, boy, this ain't going to be good. But God just sustains you through it. I mean, when you're looking in your mirror and you see the road caving off underneath your trailer tires, but you don't tip over. Right, John? I don't want you saying too much your mother's here. She'll make you quit driving truck. Oh, and you have a wife now. Sorry, John. You see what I'm saying? It's because of I've probably went through, I don't know how many of them, wore them clear out, I'm sure of it. Elisha prayed. Listen, I think we have to understand that there's a difference between just saying, hey, God, how about this, and praying. Listen, I got saved in a kind of an old-fashioned Pentecostal Assembly of God church right here in Myrtle Creek, and it could get ugly at the altars. There was a prayer room that was occupied by old ladies and old men before the church service. And if you had the guts to walk into that place, you heard things and saw things that would shock you. But the results, because some people knew the difference between talking to God flippantly and praying and getting a hold of the horns of the altar, and just, I mean, snot flying everywhere, crying, bawling, squalling. I mean, I'm talking, it gets ugly. There were pew benches in the front and they had stains all over them from people with their face buried in the cushions of those pews, sobbing their eyes out. And I don't know about you, but when I cry, my eyes aren't the only thing that leak. Hello? Stupid allergies, yeah. I'm allergic to sin, so I have to pray. Sin causes me to break out. Boy, that will preach right there. That is not the sermon for today. Here's how it unfolds. The king of Syria sends the military. They entirely surround the place. The servant of Elijah goes out in the morning. He's probably going to get some water, maybe get it from one of the wells, which, by the way, are still there today. He looks around. He sees the city is completely surrounded. And you can be sure of one thing. He is alarmed. He is alarmed. He is aghast at what's going on. He comes back and he reports to Elisha and he says to him, Elisha! Alas, master, what shall we do? The city's surrounded. We might just well give up. Looks hopeless. When Bob and me and Tom met with the engineers out there in the flesh, it can seem hopeless. Are you kidding me? We're in Myrtle Creek here. This ain't, you know. Well, where better place for God to do some kind of miracle like this than right here in Myrtle Creek, where there's no way in the world? You know why it's going to happen? Because we're going to give God all the glory for it before it ever happens. We might as well give up. It looks hopeless for us. What can we do under these circumstances? Well, let me tell you something. As a child of God, He never intended for you and I to be under the circumstances. We're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. Don't you just love Elijah's answers? And he says, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. He's like, I was just out there. I was just out there. I know how many's in here, me and you. And there's a lot more of them out there than there is. No, wait a minute. Lord, I don't know if he grabbed him by the face or what. I'd have probably just grabbed him. I almost called you up here right then, John. I can see Elisha doing that. Just grab him right by the face. Lord, open his eyes. Turn him loose. Blood all ran back into his face. Crack the door open. Have a look. Can you see it? Can you see it? He's like, Elijah, come here. You ain't going to believe this. I do believe it because I just told you to go look. There's chariots out there. And they're all around the mountain. And they're on fire. Yeah, I know. You know? Yeah. That's why I prayed that the Lord would open your eyes. Fear not. The manifestation of the answered prayer came immediately. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. See, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and the man, and he saw. And as I read this passage, it becomes obvious to me that we don't only need to pray for the prayer of faith, but we also need to see the thing that we are praying for as though through the eyes of faith that we need to see it answered and finished. That's why I'm putting a picture on that wall, because I want to help you in your faith. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. And so in your prayer life, in your mind, you've got to begin to pray. You've got to begin to say, God, show me in my mind's eye what this thing is going to look like. Show me, God, how you're going to do it. Lord, I believe it's done. Amen? If I'm in the hospital and I'm sick, bad sick, I'm bad sick. And you come in. Oh, we got to pray for you, preacher. Okay, pray for me. And so you grab your little ball of oil and you put a little on my head and you pray, God, heal him, touch him, set him free. You know, and then walk out the door. Say, he going to die. Listen, if you're going to pray that way, don't bother praying for me. You know why? Because you just canceled out the prayer that you prayed. And if you're praying a prayer by faith, you're walking out of there and saying, man, he don't look very good, but I'm just trusting that God's going to just show up and God's going to take care of it and God's going to heal him. And we just have to begin to see that take place. Without faith, it's impossible. We need to remember what it says in Romans 8 and 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If I took the time this morning to share with you the process that we went through to get this piece of property. I mean, it was on again, off again, on again, off again. God just kept bringing us back. He just kept bringing us back. And here we are in it today. Debt free. We don't owe a dime on it. Not a dime. Not a dime. If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul wants to let you and I know in no uncertain terms that this salvation is sure and that it is secure. And when we begin to pray for things by faith, God's going to show up. And when we have fully realized that God has called us, justified us, and glorified us, we can do nothing but fall before Him in humble gratitude. When He walks into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to flee as the light becomes evident. So I look back over my own life. Be my guess that there's probably a bunch of you in here the same way. Just would say something that, like, I can't believe that a holy God would use someone like me. I just can't hardly believe it. I just can't believe it. Every time I get behind this pulpit, I just can't believe that God would use somebody with a story like mine. And I mean, it's colorful. Just people in here know too much about me. We ain't got time for that. You ain't been here often enough to ask that question, brother. We ain't got time. I got to preach here. But trust me, it's colorful. Be sure of this, church. The enemy will be there to tell you that you are not good enough. He is there to tell you that you are not smart enough. You are not qualified enough to be used by God. But let me reassure you that if He called you, He will equip you. If He has called us to this place, He will provide for that building. He will provide for that building. I believe it with all my heart. Satan and those under His power are against us, but in the end, God promises us the victory. No one will oppose God and His followers forever. Their dreadful end is also sure. Elisha's servant was no longer afraid when he saw God's mighty heavenly army. Listen, there was something happened in that young man when he walked outside, when he looked up on that hill and saw the heavenly host around that place, warring angels. I mean, can you imagine? Probably got swords that are on fire. The chariots are on fire. Everything around them's on fire, but nothing's burning up. You got to come to the place in your own life, church, where you realize that the same thing that happened for them, God wants to do for us. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. This servant of Elisha wasn't afraid when he saw this heavenly army. Faith reveals that God is doing more for His people than we could ever realize through sight alone. What did I just say? It's one thing to walk into this building and see what Bob talked about this morning, that this place was a mess. I mean, there was grease and oil and everything all over the floors. There were empty barrels. There were literally thousands and thousands of barrels on this property. I kid you not. There were round barrels. There were metal barrels. There were plastic barrels. There were square tote thing. There was equipment all lined up down this wall. There was it was an absolute mess. But yet, when you look in the spiritual realm, beyond all of that, to what God can do in this place. Listen, don't get comfortable here, because we're just passing through. This is just a launching pad for out there. Amen? Because we are seeing the bigger picture. Amen? And we're going to see it. We're going to see it happen. We're going to see God move. Seeing into the invisible is the key to victorious places. He wasn't afraid. Faith reveals that God's doing more. And when we face difficulties that seem insurmountable, you and I have to remember the spiritual resources are there even when we can't see them. We need to look through the eyes of faith. We need to let God show us His resources. Amen? If we don't see God working in our life, the problem might just be that our spiritual eyesight, not God's power. I'll go ahead and say that again. If we don't see God working in our life, the problem may be our spiritual eyesight, not the power of God. Listen, He can do all things. How many of you know that? How many of you remember? I'm going to keep reminding you that the Bible says the things that Jesus said, the things that I do, you'll do, and even greater things than these will you do, because I'm going to the Father. And when He went to the Father, He said, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Ghost. And He's here, and He's with us. He lives inside of us. Let me wrap this up this morning and start reading again there in verse 18. And so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. Now, can you imagine just praying for somebody that the whole army would just go blind, and they do? Are you kidding me? And he struck with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man who you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And so it was that when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes that the men may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And there they were, inside Samaria. And now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? I mean, he wanted to be sure. He asked him twice. But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with a bow? set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away and they went to their master. And so the bands of Syrian raiders came no more to the land of Israel. Not because they suffered some great defeat. Not because they were overwhelmed and overtaken and they were just beaten down. Because of the kindness of the man of God. He could have had every one of them killed at his word. And he said, no. Let's feed them. Really? Yep, let's just feed them. So the Syrians came down to the wall of the city demanding Elisha be surrendered to them, but Elisha prayed for God to make them strike them blind, and he did. And then he leads them to Samaria, saying that the man they wanted was there. And it was really the king of Israel that they wanted, and it wasn't Elisha, and so he led them to the very man that they were fighting against. And what happened during this 14-mile journey to Samaria isn't revealed. We don't know, but it must have been a wonderful experience for Elisha to capture and deliver an entire army all by himself in the power of God. Can you imagine what that did for the faith of that young man? You talk about a faith builder, that'd build anybody's faith. And when the captured Syrian army was safe in the hands of the king of Israel, Elisha prayed for God to open their eyes. And they saw the two men that they wanted, the king of Israel and the prophet who reveals all their secrets. We really want to shut that guy up. Can you imagine the fear that must have gripped them in that moment to realize where they were and how they got there? The king of Israel wanted to smite the army, but they were spared by Elisha, who advised that they be fed and released to return to the king of Syria. You know what comes to my mind when I read that passage? New Testament, Matthew 5 and 44. But I say to you, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to, no, what? Yeah. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. And are you kidding me? Remember, church, His ways are not our ways. And if you want to see the hand of God move, not only in your life personally, but in the life of this church, love your enemies. I mean, there are plenty of folk out there I'd just soon punch in the nose. I'm just being honest. There are plenty of, I'd just like to just throat punch them. That's not the way. That is not the way. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. I don't want to. I don't want to. They said nasty things about me. And I just want to throat punch them. Love them. Bless them. Do good to those who hate you. Pray. And I just get this sense that when he says pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, he's not saying, Lord, just bless them. Lord, just bless them. That's not what he's saying. Put the shirt down. I think you might fit in here. Pray for the Lord. I know that this guy has said some ugly things and he's done some things. He's probably spread some rumors. But God, I just pray somehow or another you would just bless him. That you would just begin to open the windows of heaven. God, I pray that you would just bless his job. Bless his family. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would just come and just minister to him. That the Lord, maybe even I would get the opportunity to lead him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Yep, that's what I'm talking about. That's praying for somebody that's spitefully using you. That's stepping outside of yourself. That's beginning to see into a different dimension that's beyond you. If you love your enemies and if you pray for those who persecute you, you truly show that the Lord Jesus Christ is in fact Lord of your life. And let me just throw this in here as I begin to close. If He is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all in your life, He's not Lord at all. Church, it's something that we have to work at. Let me ask you this. What are you showing by your life? See, the Scripture calls us to be living epistles known and read of men. What are they reading about you and I? What are you showing by your life? Number two, how is it that you what are you doing? What about your life? How are you exercising your faith? Faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it will atrophy. It will get weak. It will begin to just droop and sag. It won't have any stamina. It won't have any endurance. How are you exercising your faith? What steps of faith are you and I taking? It takes faith, church, to give in the offering. It takes faith. I mean, picture with me for just a moment. The widow woman that God sent the prophet to. And He said, listen, go to Zarephath, I believe is where it was. And He said, you're going to find an old widow woman there. And she's going to be gathering some sticks and she's going to make a cake. And her and her kid are going to eat it, and then they're going to die. But you go to her and tell her to make you a cake first. Can I just tell you? It took a level of faith that you and I haven't probably been walking in for her to say, okay, I know what I got. I got just enough oil and just enough flour to make one little cake. And me and my boy are going to eat it, and then we're going to die. That's desperation. That's despair. And the man of God comes to town and said, make me a cake first. And then prepare for you and your son. And she did. And her oil never ran dry. Her flour bin never dried up. How are we doing at that level of faith? Come on, Billy. How are we doing? When I ask you to bow your heads and begin to pray, and last week we saw folks come to the altar. The week before we saw folks come to the altar. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It takes a level of faith to just raise your hand. And then I bump it up and I say, if you raised your hand, I want you to come to the front because I want to pray. That takes a whole different level of faith. I don't know these people. I'm scared out of my mind. But something happens when you take that step of faith and you begin to trust in God and you walk in God. God will meet you at the point of your faith. Every time. Every time. Bow your heads with me. Father, we love You today. Your Word is true. Your Word is strong. Your Word is powerful. Your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father God, right now I pray that as I've said what You asked me to say today, God, would You take over by Your Holy Spirit? Lord, would You begin to convict? Would You begin to minister by Your Spirit to everyone in this place. To everyone in this place. God, Your Word says that You're not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's Your will and that's Your plan. So, Father God, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and people praying today, if you're in this place, there's something going on down inside of you, and you've never accepted Jesus. Today's your day. You've never asked Him to come into your life, into your heart, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to write your name, to cleanse you with the blood. He's here today. He's walking amongst us. When He walks into the room, everything changes. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord one day. Today's your day. Today's your day. If you're in the sound of my voice, you've either never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior ever, or you did at one time and you walked away from God, life happened, things happened, you find yourself in a place far, far away from where God would have you to be. Today the Holy Spirit has drawn you into this place. Today the Holy Spirit has captivated you. Today the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes. Today the Spirit of God is saying, hey, come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's the God we serve. He loves you. He died for you. He shed His blood for you. And He wants to prepare a place for you in the portals of glory. If you've never accepted Jesus ever before, and you want Him as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you today. He loves you. He loves you. He redeemed you. Maybe you walked away from the Lord some way, somehow. Life happened. This morning, something of the presence of the Holy Spirit woke you up, drug you out of the bed, whatever the case may be. You found yourself in church this morning, not even maybe sure exactly how it is that you got here, but here you are. And now there's something you have to deal with. And the Holy Spirit is saying, come unto me. Come unto me. That's you today, and you say, preacher, I want to recommit my life to Jesus today. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else, say, preacher, that's me. Anybody else, say, preacher, that's me. I'm here today. I knew the Lord, and somehow or another, I got sidetracked, and I got distracted, and ended up way away from where God wants me to be. But boy, I don't want to be there anymore. I don't want to be wandering around in the backside of the desert. I want to be in the very courtroom of God. I want to be in the very presence of God. Would you forgive me, Lord? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I want to pray with you right now today. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. Got one. Would you join? Do you want to join today? Anybody else? Listen, if you raised your hand, I want you to come. I want you to get up out of your chair, and I want you to come, and I want you to meet me right here in the front. Come on, don't wait, don't hesitate. Rich, Jill, I need you to come right here. Right here. Hey, man. Bless you. Bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you. Ma'am, God bless you. God bless you. Listen. I don't know where you were headed this morning on that Harley. Headed here. Well, I'm glad you're here. I don't know what your life has been, but I know what it can be. And I know that today is the first day of the rest of your lives. Amen? Today is the very first day of the rest of your life. And I want you to just pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, Dear Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me. Restore me. Renew me. Rewrite my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to overflowing. And I will follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on, church. Listen. I never get tired of praying that prayer. I never get tired of seeing people come to this altar, ever. I never get tired of that. Because there's something of the Spirit of God that sees a potential inside of you that maybe you don't even see. A potential inside of you that you probably don't see. Your paths and your past come from all different directions. But God has seen you from before the foundations of the earth. He knew you yesterday, today, and He knows your last day. He knows where you'll spend eternity. He set His Holy Spirit upon you those many years ago, whenever it was that you accepted Him before. And that's what's drawn you, literally, back to church today. Can I tell you something? God don't make no junk. God does not make any junk. You're created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. He created you for a purpose. He has a plan for your life. And it's way more than just riding around on a Harley, as cool as that is. Amen. You're going to have to begin to pray. And you're going to have to begin to seek the face of God. Say, God, I know I'm not junk. I know that You have a plan and a purpose for my life. Now show it to me. Help me to walk in it. Amen. That's the way you guys are going to have to pray. And I believe it's going to blow your mind when God begins to answer that prayer. Amen. Would you let Rich and Jill just minister to you guys for just a few minutes and get some information and I'll wrap this up. Amen. Come on, church. Can we give God glory? Woo! Hallelujah. Well, glory. Father God, we love You today. We worship You. We thank You, Lord, for two more, God, that have come back to the foot of the cross, come back in the redeeming good graces of Almighty God, restored once again, O God. Lord, I put the enemy to flight from them. I pray a hedge of protection around them. Lord, that You'd watch over them, walk with them, guide them every step of the way, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us be used by You to disciple them and to draw others into this place and to pray, Lord, and to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray. Lord, until this place is full to overflowing. God, that You'd be glorified in this place. God, Your Word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And God, we're grateful for it. Lord, we pray Your blessing upon each one. I thank You for their faithfulness. I thank You for their giving. I thank You for their love. God, bless them. Watch with them. Watch over them, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. And amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today on Facebook. God bless you. God go with you. We'll see you on Wednesday.